Last week we talked about, and this is going to be a series, I'm not sure how long, but the series is going to be about knowing and seeing the Lord, Lord Jesus. Knowing and seeing the Lord. Last week, we learned that Jesus is the real deal. Now, I'm not going to re-preach last week, but I'm going to summarize that He is the reason that we can rejoice. He is the reason that we can have a relationship with God the Father now. And just quickly, last week we talked about that, who loves Jesus? If you love, you give. Love gives. That's what you just did. You acted upon what you believe. Well, Jesus told us in John, let's just go ahead and go there. This is going to be the keynote for this series, John chapter 14. But I felt something this morning. I said, I think I need to be down here because I might have to move around a little bit this morning. I felt the anointing to preach about 6:30, 7 o'clock this morning. I've got some notes here, but you know, I know the title is what it needs to be because I already had it printed. God's not going to mess up what you already got printed. I'm not going to mess up what's been printed in this book. But he also said, you need to go this way instead of that way. And I was preaching in my dream. I woke up. I mean, I was praying for people in my dream, and I woke up. I got to get in the Word. I got to open up the book. Because, see, God will speak to you in visions and dreams. He said He would. And in the last days, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men and women will dream dreams, see visions. That's okay. And so I got so excited. But in John 14, verses 19 through 21, Jesus asked a question, do you love me? Do you love me? And He told us how He would know if we loved Him. In John 14, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, He who has my commandments, and the commandments is His words. Remember, the old law has been fulfilled. Who has my word, but that ain't all, and keeps them. Keeps them. That word defined means He protects my word. He guards my word. He honors my words. Jesus said, it is He who loves me. And He who loves me, you reap what you sow. You love God, God's going to love you. But He first loved you before you could even think about loving Him. And He who loves me will be loved, will be, not gonna be, will be loved by my Father. We're talking about Jehovah. We're talking about the God of our Creator. My Father, and Jesus said, and I will love Him and manifest myself. Jesus is going to show up in your bedroom. He will show up in your kitchen. He'll show up in your checking account. He'll show up and show up. If you honor Him, if you love Him, you keep His words. Because He said, where two or three are gathered. So you don't have to even have two or three people. If you gather together, that's one. God the Father, God the Son, that's three. You already overflow. You gather together with His word. He's right there to manifest that you'll have some understanding, not in your mind, in your heart, of what the word's saying. You'll know something. And that knowing will cause you to do something, is to reach out to your neighbor, reach out to those, your enemies, and bless them. Bless, not, don't curse, bless them. And God's going to manifest Himself to you. That's what we started in last week. We got to keep His word. Religion will tell you about God, but a relationship with Jesus will lead you to God. And our number one hindrance about being a disciple in life, our number one hindrance is our life. My will, my desires, what I want to do. That's your number one hindrance. You got to determine, like Lewis said, it's all God's. My life is His. My life's been bought with a price. My body's been bought with a price. It's not my body anymore. It used to be the devil's body because we're born into sin. Soon as we're born, and He is my Father because of the sin nature. But that, like Paul Harvey said, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story, because Jesus came and paid a price. Amen. True love paid a price. And I'm not going to talk about Ric Flair. That was last week. for y'all that know Ric Flair, he still needs our prayers, by the way, because I did look him up. And he's not where he needs to be. But that can all change. In the twinkling of an eye, it can change. A heart can be changed. A stony heart can be changed just like that. Because, not because of the law, but because of love. Because that's the fulfillment of the law, is love. Now, last week Jesus was the real deal, and he still is. He still is the real deal. But today we're going to add to a little bit what Jesus is. I could ask every one of you what Jesus is to you, and we could get 10,000 sermons in here. But according to the title I had, Jesus not was, I had to take that out of my vocabulary. Jesus is persistent, and he's consistent. Persistent and consistent. Do you know what those words mean? I'm glad you asked, because I looked them up. I also operate in the office of the teacher. The teacher explains and the preacher proclaims. All right? So, a little teaching, and I'm hoping a lot of preaching this morning, because I just know God's got something good for you. Stick around. Don't leave early. The definition of persistent is continuing firmly in a course of action in spite of difficulty. Anybody had any of that? Or opposition. You're continuing. You're persistent regardless of the persecution, regardless of the situation. Continuing to exist or endure over a long period of time. See, we're only here maybe 100, 120 years. That's a long time for us, but it's really a short time in God's time plan. But it's just a short time. That's persistent. Now, consistent, they're kind of close, but they're a little bit different. Consistent, and you know when I really got the title? I thought it was the whole message, but it really was just the title. It's Saturday morning, I got up and I was off. I like to cook breakfast. And I was making pancakes. Right there by the kitchen sink. God will speak to you in the kitchen sink at breakfast. And as I was about, had all that batter, had the lumps out of it. Anybody don't like lumpy lumps in their pancakes, right? I found out that was consistency. And the Lord said, there's your message. I am consistent. Consistency. You got to get all those lumps out. And then everything will rise. It'll be good. But Jesus is consistent. He is consistent in what he did. The life that he lived. Consistent is of a person's behavior or process. Unchanging. Unchanging. In achievement or effect over a period of time. Now, he was only here a short time on the earth. 33 and a half years. That's short. That's real short. But for him, it was the exact time, purpose, plan. For him. But in that time, he was persistent and consistent in everything that he did. Everything that he did. Now, I haven't seen this movie. I'm just going to throw this out here for food for thought, because I'm your pastor and I am here to protect you of what goes in your ears and what comes out of your mouth. But there's a movie out there called Jesus the Messiah before age 12, his younger days, the young Messiah. Just be careful what you hear. He said, have ears to hear, because we don't have no understanding in the Word of what he was like before then. So see, I'm not sure who produced the movie, but just be careful and be warned. Do not take nothing away from this word. Amen. And don't let nothing come in you that's going to change your attitude of who you know Jesus is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Right. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing good that we can glean from that movie. But there's a lot, if you follow Hollywood's movie and you go to the Bible, all the movies they've made, you can get way off course. Yeah. You will not know the true nature of God. Yeah. So that's my pastor. I have to say that, because when I hear things, I got to pass it on. But we have some new orders. I had new orders today from the Lord. And I put down right after that, here's your new orders. And remember what I talked about orders, when a soldier receives orders, if he disobeys in the, if they're in the middle of a war, I could be sentenced to death if I disobey those orders. Now, thank God, we're underneath grace. God's not going to take me out because I disobey orders. But see, in the law, if you don't understand Old Covenant and New Covenant, when the law was instituted through Moses, the first person that was convicted got killed and stoned to death because he went out and picked up sticks to make a fire. But it was a Sabbath day, and he was told, do not do any work on the Sabbath day, and he got stoned to death. But see, you got to understand, that was when the first time the law came out, and he was an example that was made of what sin can do, not what that person individually sin did. It was because God had to show what sin was. He had to make the, I don't want to be no example. We've got examples to glean from in the Old Testament. Jesus is our example.
Amen.
He fulfilled all those laws and rules and regulations. And I don't want to do what he did. I can't do what he did, because only he could suffer and become that lamb that took on the sin of the whole world. He was persistent and he was consistent. Now, we're going to read. Thankfully, I took the clock off the wall this morning. I looked up there and it was gone. That was for a purpose. So, we're going to go through a couple of chapters here, but it's going to be quickly. But it's new orders. This might be for next week. We're going to the book of Luke. And I heard about that movie, but this was after I had my orders about Jesus being, that movie starts before he was 12. See, we just have a count when he was 12, you know, when he was born, but then, from his birth to when they left to when he became 12, all that, there's nothing in the Bible there. Now, we can go to the Jewish, to see how the boys were raised. We can get a background of what he came in, because he fulfilled, there was no sin in Jesus. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. But I'm not going to speculate everything that he did. But I can tell you, we can show you by the word what he did after that. So starting in Luke chapter 2, and I'll just put the notes down now, because I just get Luke chapter 2 and we just go on from there. Because as I was searching and I was seeking, I'm like, well, I know what the Lord wants me to say there, but I didn't quite know the rest of the verse. I said, well, I started there, but when I found that verse, and I kept on going back, and I just kept going back. And I said, okay, here's about where we need to start. Luke 2, verses 39. Now, this is after Jesus, this is after his birth, and all the protection, the angels protected him from Herod, trying to kill him. So when they had performed, this is when Jesus was dedicated at the temple, baby dedicated. He was dedicated, circumcised, all that the law required. It says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city. Concord, your city, if you live here, this is where you take residence. You might be in Harrisburg, might be in Mooresville, but today you're in God's house. His city is Jerusalem. Amen. Once you get born again, you're a Jew.
Yes.
Not by heritage, but by blood. Yes. Amen. You're a spiritual Jew.
Amen.
So they came to the city of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. Now, this is talking about when he was 2-3 years old, but now he's growing up. And he was, as he was growing, he was filled with wisdom, with the Spirit, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. Every year. At least 12 years now he's been going. He knows the road. He knows the routine. He knows where Bojangles is. He knows where Golden Corral is. He knows every path of that journey. He knows where the restrooms are. All these things. His parents, so you have to fill in the blanks there, but don't go make you a doctrine out of it. When he was 12 years old, Rowan's getting ready to turn 12. He went up to Jerusalem. Let's kind of give you an example, not how tall or short, but just an age he was. And he was 12 years old, went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Didn't tell him what he was doing. Okay? You gotta understand now, Jesus did not sin in his whole life. This will come together as we keep reading. But supposing, the parents said, but supposing Jesus to have been in the company, their caravan, they had camels. This is how they moved from town to town, their caravan. They went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances, his neighbors. Is he at your house? Reed, where's Jesus? Cecil, where's Jesus? He walking with you? No. This is a day after. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. That took them another day. Mary, you'd be a little bit upset by the time you found boy Jesus, right? This is 2 days now on a camel, not in your Lexus or your Suburban. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. And so was that after 3 days, Jesus said, he was probably thinking, man, I wish I was in the grave right now when Mama gets me. This is way before that. They found him. Thank God, Jesus is where he's supposed to be. They found him in the temple. Didn't find him in the bar. Didn't find him any other places but the right place. He was in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, rabbis, old guys, elders. He was listening to them. Not only was he listening, he was asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding, Lewis. See, he understood the Word. He is the Word. But he was learning. He was growing as a boy. Man, what's this on the inside of me? Man, I have a hunger for this. I got to stay here. See, all these years he had been coming to the temple, but this year was something different. He was 12. He was coming the age of accountability. Yes. I haven't studied a lot of the Jewish, but they have a bar mitzvah. In different ages and custom in the Jewish, he was becoming who he was created to be. He's the creator, living on the earth, becoming Yahshua. Man, This is what Hollywood needs to make a movie about. I'd go to it. The whole world would go out to see and hear Jesus. But not all of them respected him or honored his word. But some did. It was worth the sum, because we're one of the sums. Amen. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Don't nobody tell you can't understand the word. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Jesus. No, she didn't. Son, I'm not going to raise my voice too much, but moms, put your Jesus. Jesus, come here. Mary knew how to talk to Jesus. Where have you been? Let me say what the Bible says. Can't paraphrase what Mary said, right? Why have you done this to us? 3 days now we've been looking for you, boy. I know what my mama would do. She wouldn't just be, she'd have a belt or a hickory switch. Robert Scott, that's my middle name. You get your middle name called, you might as well pull your drawers down, because mama never calls you by your middle name unless you're in trouble. Robert Scott, belt in one hand. Usually I wouldn't answer. Faith heard, but faith didn't do anything. And she said, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I sought you anxiously. You see the dirt on our feet? You see the sweat on our brow? She's saying, look, we've been looking for you. And Jesus said, wisdom of God speaking right here, Reed. He didn't say what he said. He said what the Father said. Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? See, Jesus is transitioning from a carpenter's son to the Most High Son. He's changing positions here. He's learning who he really is. Thank God for Joseph, his natural father, that raised him, but it's not his real father. Amen? Because God is his father. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. But I'll tell you this, the anointing came upon them. Because what he said was anointed. Grace came upon them. So they went from to they was consumed with his words, with his love. Now, they don't say the rest of the things that Mary and Joseph maybe said to Jesus, but they probably came out of that anointing too. Okay, Jesus, we got to, okay, but now it's time to go. You know, Jesus did and said what he had to say. He didn't say a whole lot there, but he said what God said, and that was it. Don't give the woman, don't give mama too much, because, you know, let her calm down with what you just said. So then he went down with them. He was subject to them, submitted to their authority. See, he didn't sin. He could have stayed there, biblically, of who he was, but no. He submitted to his parents. He submitted to them, came to Nazareth, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased, say increase. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In the 13th, let's see, make sure I get it right, okay. Chapter 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch, and the region of, I'm not going to pronounce them, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John. This is John the Baptist. Came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. You know, I looked up that word. You know what wilderness? Moses was on the backside of the wilderness when God spoke to him. You know what wilderness is in the, you know what that means? I didn't know there was a front side and a back. When I think of wilderness, I think of desert. How can there be a front and a back of the desert? But the back side of the desert was the west side. And the front side was the east side. But it was pasture land. It wasn't what we think about a wilderness. Just a little bit of nugget there you can dig into. The Jeffersons went on up to the east side. Anybody remember those days? We're moving on up. They moved up to the east side. So they were on the back side, which was the west side. That's another sermon for another day. And John, the word of the Lord, came to John. John had been out in the wilderness preparing himself, read for many years. Since his birth, he was preparing, eating locusts and honey. I like Bojangles myself. Preparing himself, but God tells me to eat something, I'll eat it. And he went to all the region when the word came to him around the Jordan, preaching. Y'all ready for a little bit of preach now? Preaching a baptism of acceptance. Wait a minute, y'all help me. Did I say that right? He was preaching what? A baptism of repentance. See, we are not supposed to preach a gospel of acceptance. We're supposed to preach the gospel, which is the good news, to repentance. Jesus accepts you as you are, but he loves you too much to keep you the way you are. We just don't accept the way people are. We accept them to come to Jesus, and repent means to change the way you are. And if you don't let God change you, you haven't changed. You got to be born again to be changed. So just a little nugget there. John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That gospel hadn't changed. As it is written in the book, this is what he was preaching, what was in the book. And this is what we got to preach, is what's in the book. Isaiah the prophet said, the voice. This church has a voice. You have a voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. I've been on those rocky roads before Jesus. I'm not saying all the rocks are out of the way, but it's a whole lot smoother than what I used to be. I wasn't on the road. I was in the ditch. Let me rephrase that. I was in the ditch of death, sickness, poverty. It's called the ditch of the curse until I submitted my life to him. See, he wasn't lost. I was. I didn't find him. He found me. I was the one that was lost. And all flesh, John said, shall see the salvation of God. We're going to see. See, this series is knowing and seeing Jesus. But you got to be persistent. And you got to be consistent if you want to see all that he is. Now, don't think you'll ever see all that he is in this body. But you, that's a good place to start. It's a good place to start. All you know, all that you can to understand him. Then John said to the multitudes that came out, thank God they came out. He was preaching. I'm preaching. I'm believing for multitudes to come in this house. How are they going to hear? You're going to take them a CD. You're going to be a witness. The Holy Spirit's going to draw them. See, you're not going to pull them. You're not going to drag them. You're just going to give them the word. Give them a testimony. And then he has to draw them. The Holy Spirit has to draw them. I think I might have lost my page. It's after the crooked place is made straight. Said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. Man, do I want to preach this morning? Am I going to have to look out here and say, you brood of vipers, Lisa? No, he was talking to the ones that haven't repented yet. Okay. But he also was not Jesus. He was the Lord's cousin. But he's trying to make a point. He's trying to prepare the way because their hearts were not prepared. You brood of vipers. But he's actually talking to those that were under the law too. The religious Pharisees. They needed to hear who they were because they were of the father of the devil. Jesus told them later. He told them the same thing his cousin told them. In a little bit different way. Amen. He had the shoes. He could say it. Jesus had the shoes that John couldn't wear. There's a sermon right there in that one. Whose shoes you got on? Amen. Take them off. Jesus says take them off and put his on. His shoes are called holy shoes. Holy sandals. Therefore, if you come out to be baptized, here's what you need to be here for. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, I ain't listening to John. I'm listening to Abraham, what he said in the law, the Levitical law, all the law. Abraham's who I'm following. John said, don't say that you have Abraham. If you do, he says, I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit, Jesus said, you'll know the Christians by their fruit, which is their love. If you don't have good fruit, you're worthy of nothing to be cut down and be thrown into the fire, that tree, if it ain't bringing forth good fruit. So the people asked him, oh, Lord, might as well be cut down. What shall we do? What are we going to do, John? John said, I'm glad you asked. Frankie's working on the baptistry, but he pointed to the River Jordan, pointing to the water. I'm glad you asked. He said, he who has two tunics, let him get... See, he didn't baptize them first. He gave them the word. See, the water is not what saves you. It's the word that saves you. Jesus is what saves you. He's the one who saves you. But he's preparing the hearts here. If you got a coat, take it off. If you got two, give one to him that has none. And if you have food, let him do likewise. If you got some food to give, give it. Bake a cake, give it. Don't sell it, bake it, and sell it, and give it. He answered and said to them, to the tax collectors also came to be baptized, and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? We're tax collectors. You know how crooked we are. Talking to John. And he said, collect no more than what is appointed for you. If you need a good tax advisor, my wife works for H&R Block. She won't take more from you than what the government is taking. So don't get mad at my wife. If you go to H&R Block, got to go to Caesar. And we got to love Caesar. Likewise, the soldiers came and asked John, saying, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not imitate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. I wish the soldier had been there that crucified Jesus. But it still had to be, didn't it, Reed? It still had to be. There was one there that repented underneath the cross. He said, truly, truly, this man is the Son of God. Man, he repented. He knew what he had done. He repented that day, and he got saved. He got born again, just like the thief on the cross. Now, as the people were in expectation, they all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ. Things they shouldn't even been thinking about. I wonder if this is the Messiah. I wonder if Cecil's Jesus. I wonder if Terry's going to be the one. But John answered quickly by the Spirit of God, saying to you all, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance, but one mightier than me is coming, in whose sandal I'm not even worthy to untie. He will baptize you, not with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and fire. Different baptism. Same Spirit. Amen. So there's more than one baptism. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many exhortations, John is exhorting the people, encouraging them. He's not beating them up. He's not telling them, where you been? Why ain't you been giving your tithes? Why ain't you helped the church do this? He's exhorting them to repent. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him, talking about John concerning Herodias, his brother's Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that John should be shut up in prison. What that just briefly said, that John was condemning Herod because he was having Philip's wife, and he told him that ain't right. In other words, he said, you need to repent. That's sin. They didn't like it, and later on they shut John up in prison. That's another story. After this, when all the people were baptized, John's a little wet in the Jordan. Probably a little tired too. It came to pass that Jesus also, say Jesus, also was baptized. And while he prayed, and I got to looking at this and I think about this last night, Jesus didn't have to repent. He had no sin. I'm like, Lord, you didn't have to be baptized. Jesus knew that. But John was preparing the way. Preparing the way. He said the same thing to his disciples. If I've washed your feet, should you not wash others' feet? It doesn't say it here, but Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heavens were open. But he told John told him, Jesus, I need you to baptize me. You don't need to be baptized, but Jesus said, let all things be done properly in order, what the Word says. See, he set our example to show us we need to be baptized. Jesus said he was tempted with all points as we were, but without sin. We needed this baptism of water. We need the baptism of repentance. Jesus didn't, but he said so that all the Word would be fulfilled. He did it. And after this is what I like. Jesus come up, the heavens was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, not from the dove. The Holy Spirit, that dove didn't speak to Jesus. God the Father spoke from heaven. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. The Holy Spirit's not a bird. Amen. He's not a bird. He's a person. He's God the Father in the Spirit. He's the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead Trinity. But that day he lit upon Jesus like the dove, because that's what John had seen in a vision. And the voice from heaven said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. I'm not going to read the genealogy, so we're going to step on over to chapter 4. Immediately, Jesus just got baptized in water, and then the heavens was opened up, and he was baptized. He was anointed by God, by the Holy Ghost, came upon him and stayed upon him throughout his whole earthly life. The Holy Spirit never left him. See, he didn't have to be born again. He was born of God, but the Holy Spirit had to come upon him and anoint him for ministry. And chapter 4, immediately after that happened, immediately after I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the devil is going to try to get in your stuff. It says, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit. We was talking about you need to be led by God in your giving. You need to be led by God in your living. Yes. Praise God. I had to preach right there. Y'all didn't jump like I did on the inside. God will lead you in your giving, but he also wants to lead you in your living. Yes. How are you living? He's not gonna smack you around and say, you know you shouldn't be doing that. He's going to love you. Yes. And what he wants you to know, the Holy Spirit's going to say, why aren't you loving Jesus? That's his ministry, to show you how righteous you are. Why are you living this way? You're righteous. You're holy because Jesus has made you holy. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to show you how much Jesus loves you. Yes. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus into that wilderness that John had been all those many years. Now Jesus is going to go out there just like his cousin was. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. 40 days, we think 4 minutes, 4 hours is long. 40 days, he didn't. 40 days, the devil was persistent too. Yes. Persistent for 40 days until he couldn't take that word anymore. For 40 days, and in those days, Jesus ate nothing, and afterward, he got hungry. We've been here an hour and a half, and I'm already hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, Jesus was saying, I am a man. He was a God man. Then the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Persistent, wasn't he? And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you. I'll give you the keys to Trump Tower. All this authority, kingdoms of the earth. Trump wasn't there yet, but paraphrasing to nowadays. Give you all this authority, Terry. All these kingdoms of the earth. But Terry would say, it is written. But first of all, the devil said, I will give you their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I'll give it to whomever I wish. But he wanted his worship. Therefore, if you will worship me and come before me, it will be yours. And then Terry would say, because he's the praise and worship leader. What would he say, Terry? Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only. Him only deserves my worship. Then he took him to another test, to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, Jesus knew about that temple. Jesus was dedicated in that temple. Jesus came to that temple every year. The devil took him to his church, set him on the high place of that temple. Before then, he'd been humble, hadn't he? Jesus was always humble when he came into the temple. He didn't have to go to the top. He probably went to the back and let God bring him to the front. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said, it has been said, and I'm going to add to it a little bit, and I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it today, you shall tempt the Lord your God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And neither, Jesus said, neither will I, because he's my God. And the devil finally left forever. For a season. He ain't gonna go. He's still persistent, but he was wore out. Jesus whooped him. He whooped out the word. 3 temptations. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time. I tell you right now, when you walk out this door, there's going to be opportunities that are going to come your way. Yes. You got the right to choose what you say. You speak life or you can speak death. Say life. Choose life. It is written. And you got to speak. Your mind's what's going to be speaking to you. There's going to be people speaking to you too, but they're not going to be speaking their mind if they're speaking what the devil's saying, because that's not their mind. the devil has possessed or control is controlling their mind, because God gave you a mind. And you have authority, you can speak it. Speak what you want. I keep losing my place, but I keep finding it. After this, now remember, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was filled of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. After he got done, it says in verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power, say power, power of the Spirit to Galilee. When you take it to the devil, you're going to get power. See, that's what the Holy Spirit comes upon you for, anoints you for, is to resist evil. You take a light bulb up there, when you give it power, it goes through resistance. There's resistors in that thing. And what happens is the power comes on, the light comes on. The voltage going through there goes through a resistor. It's resisting. And when you resist evil, your light comes on. Amen? Your light is on. You don't stumble around in the darkness. You have understanding. Your mind is illuminated with the Word of God, and you know what to do. You know the right thing to choose, Colette. You know, Larry, it's the right choice. You've made it. Now you can rest. Not in your head, in your heart. You have peace from God. And you can rest. And you can rest assured what you chose is going to bring forth life. Jesus had power to go out and start a church and say, hey, look at all this power I got, guys. No, that wasn't Jesus. The power is for a purpose. It's to bring God glory. He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went through all the surrounding region, and he had all that power, and he went to church, and he sat down, and he taught in their synagogues. He took that power, took it to church. See, there's power in this church. There's power in the Word right now. There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's power in what God's given me to say, and I'm teaching it and preaching it to you. There's power in his Word. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Be like me going to Mooresville. That's where I was brought up, y'all, over here in Mooresville. Can anything good come out of Mooresville? Jesus can do a work in Mooresville. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He'd been coming here for many, many years, as his custom was. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, well, what if Jesus hadn't came to church that day and I gave the book to Miss Alicia? Jesus would have missed his plan. Now, I know Jesus is not going to do that, but what happens if I don't come to church on Sunday? Well, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you, but are you going to be there to hear what God had for you that day? So you can walk out those doors and hit that right blessing that God has for you. That's the importance of coming to church, is hearing what God wants to say. But not just when you're here on Sunday, when you leave here. Faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. You need to hear what, chew on that, meditate on it. What did he say? What did the preacher say? I don't know. Well, you got a CD, don't you? Yeah, well, play it again. Get you somebody to help you listen to it. And he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So I can dance, scream, and shout and say, I got the Holy Ghost. Now, that's a good feeling, because there's some feelings you can experience with Jesus. He was anointed with gladness above all his fellows, with the oil of gladness. No sadness in his church. Gladness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who's the poor in the world? Those that haven't heard the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to those that are blind, or to those that may be impaired in hearing. He is your healer. This is the Word of God now. This is just a little bit of what he was anointed to do. But in it is everything. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim. So what preaching does, I am proclaiming what Jesus said. The acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee. Yes. Jubilee. What's Jubilee? I'm glad you asked. I'm looking for my smartphone. Praise the Lord. This is one you got to touch it with your finger. The Bible describes a period of time most people have never heard of. The Jubilee year. It occurs after seven sets of 7 years, 49 total. This proclamation of a 15th Liberty year occurs on one of God's annual feast days, known as the Day of Atonement. Because God owns everything. Yes. See, Lewis was just preparing you this morning. Yes. In your offering of what really God was going to say all day. What he's been saying for eternity. Because God owns everything, he set up a special, regular, occurring time period where his will is that a man or woman's possessions are returned to him. Jesus is our possession. Jesus is our way back to the Father. The year of Jubilee, he was preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. You're accepted today, Mary. You were accepted 2,000 years ago. Back to the Father, back to relationship with God the Father. That goes for all of us. That's why Jesus was happy. That's why the devil was mad. Because God was back in the earth, atoning man's sin, reconciling man back to God, gaining that earth back that he had given over to Adam, that Adam gave over to the devil. The year of Jubilee. That's all I got on that. That'll preach right there. I bet Lisa knows a little bit about Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee in the Jewish in the nation of Israel. Man, God's got a time clock. Amen. We're not of the Jewish nation, so we don't have to wait. Jesus is that acceptable year. Yes. Once we got born again, man, we can celebrate Jubilee every year, but that's an awesome thought right there. This is the year, the 749 years. And God still is working with the Jews. And we're to pray for them, love them. I'm getting close to the end. I don't know what time it is, but I know it's good. Oh, wait a minute here. And it says, then he closed the book. So y'all want me to end the message now? Jesus closed the book. Does that mean it's over? No. We can't leave you with that, can we? He closed the book and gave it to the attendant, and he sat down. He sat down. And the eyes of all of them, don't look at me, look at Jesus. Don't look up there at the screen. See, look past me and look to Jesus. Jesus is talking today through the Holy Spirit. This is his message. And it woke me up at 6:30 this morning, so get some of it, amen? Get a hold of it. Hang on to it. Knowing and seeing Jesus, we got to be persistent and consistent in our walk with the Lord every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. All their eyes were fixed on what Jesus did because Jesus was anointed. He was full of power. Man, he was illuminated. He was just ready for somebody to get healed. He was ready for somebody to take hold of that glory of God that was upon him. And I know he was excited. I'm excited. And he began to say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Minister, we're supposed to minister grace to those we come across. Now, don't get condemned if you get in the flesh, but repent. We still need to repent, right? If we mess up, say something wrong, just repent. God still loves you. Get up. He says, get up. Go on, soldier. And he said to them, you will say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. Jesus is talking to his hometown crowd. All these multitudes that came out. His church. He was brought up in his church. And he said, surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Sometimes I wonder, I was born and raised in Mooresville. Why am I attending church in Concord? God knew. He told Abraham, get out from your country. There's a purpose. Because I got to prepare you, Robert. I got to prepare you, Lewis. I got to prepare you, Mary. So whatever God says to do, it's not for your hurt, it's for your benefit. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them widows was Elijah sent, except to one in Zarephath, near the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Nathan the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with joy and exclamation. No. What does it say? They were filled with wrath, because he's preaching, you're not hearing me. You don't understand. I am God in the flesh. I'm anointed by God. You need to repent. You need to hear. And they were angry because it wasn't soothing into their minds. See, that law makes sin come alive, but grace takes sin from you and gives you grace and mercy. And they rose up, thrust him out of the city, and led him to a cliff. And they were going to throw him over the city right there in Jerusalem. Boy, been coming to church for over 30-some years since his birth. And he gets a good message, and they want to kick him out to church. Gosh. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't want to hear what God said. Wanted to hear what the law had to say. They've been hearing the law all these years. But he passed through them. Passed through their midst. Disappeared. So if you're going to get persecuted, you're going to get stoned like Stephen. Do a disappearing act. Yeah. Amen. Holy Ghost, beam me out of here, Jesus. I'm not ready to go yet. Now, Stephen, he was the first martyr. He was ready to die for the Lord. He stood up, filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't believe he felt a rock they threw at him, because he was anointed by God. But they cast Jesus out of his own church. Had the best message he ever heard, and it was upon him. How much more are they going to do to you and me when we go out there? Keep walking, keep talking, keep singing your song. Keep singing your song. Tammy, are we going to have a song? How are we doing on the song? Y'all don't know what we're talking about, but she does. What time is it? Somebody give me a little rough estimation. 11:40. Oh, 11:40. We okay. I'm going to get you out. But first I got to get you to the promised land. Got to get you out of Egypt. God's got you going to the promised land. You're going to be led. See, they were led by the Spirit of God. You can't be led in your head. You can't be led by what your mama taught you, what your daddy taught you, unless they taught you what they taught Jesus. If they taught you the word, you can be led. But don't be led by your head. You got to be led by your heart. Because what mama might want you to do is not really particularly what God wants you to do. Amen? Because only God can give you the vision he has for you. Mama can't give it to you, and daddy can't give it to you. They can pray for you, like Paul did. He seen the faith that was in Timothy. He said, I perceive you have faith like your grandmother. But Timothy, what has God called you to do? That's what you pursue. It's what God has called you to do. And if you're doing what God has called you to do, you're going to be a success. Doesn't mean you're going to be popular. Might not win all the contest or the popularity contest, but you'll be powerful if you do what God says. Because he is his power that worketh in you. Be persistent and be consistent at what God has called you to do. What has he called you to? Life everlasting. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that comes to me, I'll no wise cast you out. How do you come to Jesus? Jesus, I need a Savior. I need you. And he says, the Bible says, all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Born again. That means born from above. Born from heaven. Boom, just like that. And see, you don't do that in your head. You do that in your heart. And God knows that when you do it in your heart, you are born again. And the devil can't steal that from you. That's a gift from God. Amen. Salvation is a gift from God. And the only one that can refuse that gift is you and me. The devil can't take it because he can't give it. Right. Amen. He can't give you or can't take away nothing. He can't give you life eternal. Only only Jesus. Everlasting life. Everlasting relationship with God of the universe, Father God. In closing, and I said it, I'll say it again, let's be persistent and consistent in our relationship with the Lord. What is He asking you to do? Help me keep my words. Keep the words that I've shared this morning. See, they've been written on your heart this morning. Now the devil can, and he'll try to come take those words out of your heart. He'll try to steal them, because Jesus said He's coming to try to steal the words that's been sown in your heart. But what do? Get the scarecrow out. Get the scarecrow out. It's that Bible right there. It is written. Put your stake down. I shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God says I'm going to live by, that's what I'm going to say. Stake down. Devil out. You got to put on the north stake, south, east, and west. Over your doorpost, on your refrigerator, get your magnet, put the word on the refrigerator. Because you're going to get hungry. We're going to get hungry, right? So every time you go to that refrigerator, you see that word. Ah, yes. I shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you do that, before you know it, your fruit's coming out of the ground. You walk into a blessing that you've been believing God for many, many years. He's been trying to get it to you, but it was with the widow at Zarephath. You was just on the wrong path. You're supposed to be in over here at this widow's house, at this church, at this business, at this restaurant today. So God can feed you, replenish you, fill you, overflow you with His provision and blessings. That's His desire. That's my desire. I want it to be yours. He wants it to be yours. In closing, did I say that 10 minutes ago? Those ladies I took the CD to, as I was leaving the other one, we got to sharing and got to talking, and she was telling me about a message she heard, and I was hearing from the Holy Ghost, and I said, wow, sister, we started talking about that. I said, you know what? The Bible says we are the salt. We start talking about salt. And I said, yeah. I said, what we got to do? I said, Jesus told us we're the salt of the earth. But a lot of times we get caught up in the salt shaker. See, the salt ain't no good as long as it's in the shaker. You got to shake it out of the salt shaker. And I seen that, and I said, yes. I said, we are the salt of the earth. And I looked at it, and I said, let's shake ourselves out, and let's go season the world with the love of Jesus. And I was like, wow, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to preach that Sunday morning. But it's actually the closing. It's actually the closing. So Jesus, He is the true light that has came in and lit the whole world up with His love. Amen? And we are the salt of the earth. We're a city that's been put on a hill. The devil, that little song we sing, I ain't going to let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to let the devil put it out. I'm not going to hide it underneath the basket. Because we're a city put on a hill that needs to show forth the love and glory of God. Amen.